life you want.
Practicing Catholic. How long do you have to practice before you get to be one?
You've got to practice because you don't go in getting everything right, you know. You've got to practice your whole life.
So what do you do? What do you have to do to practice it?
All you have to do is go to Mass every week, really, and go to confession at least once a year. I do more than that.
I want to know what type of stuff you confess. I mean, what does Ben Weasel confess, you know?
I'm not going to make my confession to you.
Once again, beating on your undeserving eardrums,
it's Radio Like You Want! With your host, Mike Routier.
And Flag the Ripper.
Cutting straight to the chase, Mike Routier. You know how we do. Never reintroducing ourselves after we've started.
Don't want to be redundant, man. We got to move forward. It's been done, Mike. It's been done. It's in the past.
But you know what hasn't been done? A big, exclusive, freak-ass interview with Ben Weasel from Screech and Weasel. He's remained mum for the last 2 years as controversy swirled around him.
Mum is the word, but not tonight.
No, we got him to open up like a brilliant vagina. In spring, Mike.
That's right. We examine all the little naughty bits of Ben Weasel tonight. We heard a little tiny, just a snippet of it before the show started there, expounding on that and further. We're going to hear all kinds.
A smidgen of Weasel.
Just a smidge. A little pinch of Weasel.
Little pinch of punk, but our usual features, Mike, of course, you're going that estrogen OD.
Always ODing on the estrogen on this show. Also doing a little globetrotting while we're at it. And tell you what, it's going to get steady up in here, Blake.
It came. From the garage, guilty pleasures. We got the whole shot, Mike. We're doing everything we always do.
Another goddamn death dedication as well.
Man, they're dropping like flies.
Every time you turn around, it's like the whole show could be a fucking goddamn death dedication.
It's springtime. I thought things would be blooming, fecund.
Like Ben's vagina.
Bursting to life. Instead, death.
New tunes as well. We got stuff from the Bugs. I think you're jumping on the vocals on one of those. And Ben Weasel on the other.
San Diego's finest, the Bugs, emergeth, Mike, from the cocoon.
Peter Murphy back on tour as well, celebrating 35 years of Bauhaus.
He's sad, and girls tattoo him on their breasts.
What's to be sad about? On Radio
Like You Want.
Sure, mister, but I'm a stranger in this so-called planet. I was just wondering if Well, if you could tell me where I could get a hold of some of the real stuff.
Pardon me, sir. Stuff?
Some guys get flowers and go on dates. Some people get their girls by acting super gay. But I don't do that. No, that ain't me. I get them in the sack and keep things in their state. By doing blood stuff. Yeah, I do blood stuff. Some guys are pussy. They sit and wait. They don't get late. They stay a masturbate. But I don't do that. No, that ain't me. It's just an inch away from where they fucking be. Where I do blood stuff. Yeah, I do blood stuff. And you're a blood slut. And this song stinks.
This is Todd from Toys That Kill. You're listening to Radio Like You Want It. I'm back, baby.
Message received. We are waiting. Over and out.
I've got you now.
Well, enjoy yourself.
We'll be right back.
Little ode to our guest, Ben Weasel. That's the Queers from Beat Off 1994. They just love themselves some Ben Weasel, I tell you what.
And they like to beat off, so it all
kind of
ties
together. Yeah, I think they covered all the bases in that one right there. Brand new one there from Toys That Kill. Maybe this is cut way off.
Todd the Conjolier, mastermind behind FYP, the FEOPs, as they're sometimes known. Mm-hmm. Underground Railroad to Candyland, and of course, Toys That Kill. You can't tell the players without a scorecard when it comes to Big Todd. Theodore, as he's sometimes known.
See, he's got so many credentials. He's one of those guys, when you go to talk about him, it's like you're talking for like 10 minutes before you fully just, you have to give his whole resume every
he
time you mention the guy's name.
He skates for Christ. He skates for Christ.
See, that's all you
got to
know.
So cool,
you don't need to know all the bands, the name, the pong, and all that stuff. Just say he skates for Christ.
The dude just skates for Christ.
Done.
Man, Shaka.
All right, the Bugs before that with the one and only Yourself on vocals.
I Do Butt Stuff, and this one's pretty much self-explanatory. Before that, Bauhaus. You know, so many girls have committed suicide to that song.
I was thinking about doing that myself, just maybe offing myself mid-track.
It's not so dire, Mike. Let's globetrot.
Globetrotter! All right, Black. Well, you're always complaining about how this is so Francois-centric. We'll go to Italy, finally. That greasy spot in Europe there. Iced and the Iced with Poly Schizophrenia from 1981. Huh? What?
That brain of yours a new home in the skull of the Frankenstein monster.
I don't know why you do the things that you do to me. Something with nothing. But this is all new to me. I'll wait for a chance. A break on through to you. This ain't no dance. I'm aching to prove to you the thing I want.
We'll be right back.
Like You Want. This is John Gentile from Philly Features, editor at punknews.org, and I'm here to keep you up to date on what's happening in the underground. And this week we're going 6 feet down underground. We've got a brand new track from a band called Ghoul. They're a mix of punk, hardcore, and metal. They're kind of like Guar, that they wear costumes and masks on stage. And in fact, this is a brand new track off their new EP. It's a cover of a Guar tune called Americanized, and it includes on guest vocals none other than Odorous Urungus of Guar. Wow!
Guar cover right there, Americanized, featuring Guar frontman Odorous Urungus. Intermediate level of hardcore just came out. Thanks to John Gentile for throwing that on our radar.
Cheese fuckers, Mike. They're all just a bunch of cheese fuckers.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I had been
this
wondering.
This can't be
that.
News, Black.
Yeah, I mean,
you must have heard.
I had been
this.
Leaning in that direction, but I was waiting
60
for Guar,
minutes, right?
Yeah, to kick me over into conspiracy theory. Mm.
Fox News, you're on top of it, right? USA Today, I know you're in the big news hound.
Well, what I am, I'm big on the blogs, Mike. I like to read
the blogs.
I like to read what 13-year-old girls are saying about what I should wear.
Well, obviously you've been taking their advice.
Yeah, absolutely.
You look like Taylor Swift over there. Ice and the Iced, Paulo Schizophrenia. Going back to, that's our Globetrotter there from Italia, Black. You gotta like that one, 1981.
Ice and the Iced.
Tell me that wasn't a huge influence on what you do today.
Iced, baby. If you've never been to Italy, Mike, you need to go down there. It's a wonderful place full
been
of
there.
Attractive people, and they do
North Italy,
good things.
South Italy, just a bunch
South,
of
not
those
so good.
Guys,
is that what you're saying?
I tell you what. Forget all that. All we care about this week is Ben Weasel. You had an excellent conversation with the guy. You guys are good buddies, I could tell.
Well,
we
became buddies in the course of this very long, interminable, never-ending conversation.
Plus,
in which we talked.
You guys busted out some opera. We don't hear enough opera on radio.
La donna è mobile. Qual fiume al vento muta d'accento e di pensiero.
That was La Donna Mobile from Rigoletto. This is a pick from Ben Weasel. Now, Ben, you're an opera aficionado. What brought you into opera? Was it the drama of the whole thing? Do you go see it live a lot, or was it televised?
Well, up in Madison, we don't get a lot of live opera. The opera company up here does 3 productions a year. I am going to Chicago next weekend to see Rigoletto, which that song was from. You know, I couldn't find anything I wanted to listen to, so I ended up on the opera station and just got hooked. And it's funny because I, about 10 or 15 years before that, I had tried to get into opera, but I couldn't. And I think the reason why is because nobody explained to me how, because it's actually a difficult thing. If you're listening to an opera recording, an opera in a foreign language, and you don't speak that language, you need to know kind of how to read a libretto. And it's not, you know, a translation of it, but it wasn't that obvious to me how to do it. Plus, the opera I was listening to was Don Giovanni, which starts out with kind of a really fast conversation between two baritones. If you're not familiar with the opera, it can get really confusing, and you can't tell who's singing what, and you don't speak Italian, so it's going back and forth. So it's been really difficult, but I decided to give it another shot, and yes, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It's the drama of this thing. That's probably part of what attracted me to the Catholic Church, the kind of bigness and vastness and just unrepentant, bloody, like, life of it. When I was a kid, my musical hero, my favorite rock star, was Alice Cooper. And, you know, a big part of that was the theatricality of it. As far as what I do in my career, I've been moving more towards that. The kind of fictional narrative aspect of songwriting, obviously lyric writing, is more and more appealing to me, whereas the kind of, you know, personal or autobiographical type stuff is less and less interesting to me. Not that my stuff was ever completely that, and even when it was at times, you know, you dress it up for public consumption. And there's, you know, you never really put anything out there that's completely your heart on your sleeve.
Do you find that when you're telling somebody else's story, you wind up telling truths about yourself?
I mean, I think yes, to some degree, but also just kind of universal truth. The thing that I discovered more quickly than anything else was that the details don't really matter. What matters is the kind of whatever the comment is on the human condition. And good art, it has to fulfill a lot of criteria, so there has to be that kind of universality to what you're talking about, so that if you are talking about a situation that somebody's not familiar with, it doesn't matter because the characters are kind of experiencing something that everybody can relate to. Most of what happens in the movies or on TV will never happen in our lives. Even when they do reality shows, you know, those people are acting, whether they know it or not.
Right, Ready Like You Want, we are back. Black Dahlia interviewing Ben Weasel. We just heard one from Screeching Weasel, I Love to Hate. And, you know, after hearing that, you got to wonder, was Ben classically trained? I mean, how do you get your mind around this stuff? Black, lay the question on him.
Are you a trained musician who, you know, had a background in classical music, or are you just completely self-taught?
Yeah, I'm mostly self-taught. I took piano lessons when I was a kid. But what interests me about opera is that interplay between the music and, you know, what's happening in the narrative. You know, to some degree, it doesn't really matter if it's violins or loud guitars. What's interesting to me is what the music does to kind of play a part in the narrative.
So can we expect that type of an effort from Weasel or from you anytime soon, a kind of musical or an operatic thing?
Yeah, I've been working on an idea for a while, but I don't have a lot of time for creative work these days in the first place. And then when you add in the fact that there's no money in it, I mean, to mount like a rock opera type production, for example, just the sheer number of singers you would need, it would be a pretty expensive proposition. So it's something that I certainly want to do. I have been working on that pretty much exclusively, but I have serious doubts as to whether it'll ever happen, just because, you know, there's no money in recorded music anymore. This is about the worst time, you know, since I've been making music, that you could try to go out and do something as ambitious as that, because it's pretty much certain to lose money.
Well, maybe you could tie it in with another interest of yours, General Hospital. I mean, what if you mounted an opera on General Hospital that was, say, about a big kind of dramatic topic like Luke and Laura? I'm just saying.
Luke and Laura, man, that's the 80s. The Laura just came back, though.
But isn't that the whole thing about General Hospital, that it ties back into the 80s and different... I have to admit, I haven't watched it in a long time. Give me the one-minute synopsis of where I should be on General Hospital right now.
Oh, I couldn't. It would be impossible.
Come on.
What they're doing now, I think a new head writer was hired. And so what they're doing now is they're bringing back all these old characters. And since I've only been watching the show for a year, it's literally been just almost a little bit over a year. I don't know a lot of characters, but my has been watching it for years, so she kind of fills me in on who's, you know, who's who and what they're doing. There was another soap opera that was canceled, One Life to Live, so a bunch of those characters came over to General Hospital. But basically what just ended was this terrible, hilarious subplot involving a police detective whose doppelganger was a vampire but turned out to be a...
Wait, a vampire on General Hospital?
Yeah, absolutely. But
wow, so they've gone totally Buffy on... Nobody told me this. I thought it was kind of a serious drama about a hospital.
Oh, it gets pretty out of control sometimes. But yeah, he turned out to be a serial killer who only thought he was a vampire. He was a rock star whose wife died, and then he went crazy and thought he was a vampire. But
see, this ties into you, though, right? Because you, too, have had these notable rises and falls in the rock business. So do you see a parallel there, Ben?
I don't know. Maybe. I started watching it because I had heard on NPR an interview with the actor James Franco talking about he was acting on General Hospital. He had his agent approach them. He was interested in acting on a soap opera. And of course they said, yeah, of course we'll have one. And they created a character for him that sucked right in. And it's the same thing. I mean, it's what attracted me to rock music and opera, is that really was over-the-top dramatic element.
Right, I Want to Be a Homosexual right here on Radio Like You Want. That's from Screeching Weasel, Parvo, Devo, 7-inch, 1991. The Ben Weasel interview rolls on in just a few mementos. But first, you heard one from Blag earlier, but now it's Ben's turn. Another tribute to the Bugs. This one's called eHarmony Rejected Me. Pretty sure this is the first time this one's been played anywhere. I mean, you might even call it
a Radio Like You Want world premiere exclusive.
Harmony, Rejected Me by Ben Weasel. That's a tribute to the Bugs right here on Radio Like You Want. Let's get back to the meat and potatoes of this thing. Blag interviewing Ben Weasel. What do we got coming up in this next segment here? Ah, yes. Inevitably, every interview steers toward the dwarves.
Yours is actually one of the few bands that I think could relate to that concept, the idea of larger than life, over the top.
Well, yeah, that's why the Dwarves were never invited to kind of join in the reindeer games of the punk scene. I mean, when everybody kind of got the big payoff and it was like, oh, gee, I guess we all recognize this was great. People always had a healthy fear of us, including the people around the scene. It was like there was always something with the Dwarves where it was like, hey, this might get out of hand.
I think part of it, honestly, was you were on Sub Pop. I think that was a big part.
But we scared the shit out of them and all those bands. I mean, we got to play with all of them, and then it was like, hey, you know, it was always once.
I think a lot of people looked at Sub Pop, and I'm sure I did at the time too, and said, oh, if you're on that label, you're kind of grown up, and you're, in a way, too good for punk rock. That was a stupid attitude for me to have at the time, but that is probably a pretty accurate approximation of what I thought at the time. I booked your band. It could have been 88, but I think it was 87, and I wasn't actually...
You didn't go to the show.
No, because why would I? No. but one of the things that I knew the Dwarves for was aging your guitarist death. Having to sell your label.
Oh, yeah.
People getting so pissed that they kick you up. But part of the reason why I like that and why I admire that is because it plays into that whole thing, kind of blurring the line between fantasy and reality and playing up the theatricality of things. And I feel like my impatience with and lack of interest in punk, really going back to, you know, the late 80s, I've just grown increasingly bored of it. Has to do with this idea that you've got to be real. And, of course, there's a ton of artifice in that alleged quest to be real.
That's what I hated about punk. It was like, look, dude, I'm not trying to be real. It's not that I need to ride around in a limousine, but if they come to get me in one, I'm not going to go, hey, this doesn't make me real enough. You know what I mean? I mean, I didn't mind being at Sub Pop. I thought maybe I'll meet a decent producer here. I wanted to be somewhere where I could do something cool with my music or make a great show or do something. And yeah, punk always had all this orthodoxy. The paradox was, you know, here it is, 30 years since I first made a punk record, and I still do it. Self-managed, put out my own records. I turned out to be much more of like an indie guy, regular, make your own t-shirts punker than all of the people that criticized me in the 80s and 90s for not being enough that way. They've all completely left it.
From my perspective, I embraced so much of that orthodoxy. I mean, I was a true believer throughout the 80s and up until about the early 90s, and you can sort of chart where that stopped by how many records I was selling. Because the more records I sold, the more that I saw this is complete bullshit. A lot of the assumptions that I had made about rock music and the rock industry and kind of rock stardom, I was realizing were just ludicrous. And I think the tipping point for me was when I went on tour with my other band, the Riverdales, and we went out and opened for Green Day for 3 months. And this was after they had hit it really big, playing these big, big stadiums and stuff. And so I got kind of an insider view into that world and really saw that most of what I had thought and believed was completely wrong. The biggest rock star attitudes I've ever gotten have been from guys who couldn't fill a bass.
By the people, for the little people, here's how we like to start off the set. Dude, where's my coke? Is followed by a week, just the segues into post-democrat. Oh, how upsetting, it seems I've neglected to mention that punk used to be so dangerous. Misfits, falling in line like you do.
All right, NoFX right here on Radio Like You Want. Oh, what
la,
the
la,
hell?
La, 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 la.
That's a pretty fucking funny song, making fun of everybody who goes to punk rock bowling and hangs out at Fat Records, and I thought it was pretty hilarious myself.
Follow Your Leader, Screeching Weasel, First World Manifesto from 2011. I gotta say, that interview was goddamn dynamite. Well, General Hospital, I didn't know what the hell was going on in General Hospital. I haven't watched since Luke and Laura. And
people don't know the more introspective vampires, Ben. You know,
Ben,
when he's not out there battering women, he's at home watching General Hospital. That's that fire and ice. That's that dichotomy.
Also the opera angle. I mean, I can't wait to hear the Screeching Weasel opera.
I'm just waiting for the television news thing. The FBI's converged, you know, on the house.
It's going to be like Lambesis kind of a situation going on.
He's got, you know, 30 teenage women trapped down in the basement, and there's opera cranking, and, you know, I don't know. He's dressed in a Pagliacci outfit.
It's going to be like a sports bar with all these TVs and nothing but soap operas going on.
I'm telling you. That's the future as I see it, Mike. Wow, the Screeching Weasel interview.
Of course, I got to correct myself. That was not a Bugs tribute record. As we all know now, there is a new Bugs record, and it happens to feature various guys.
How could you have a tribute to a band making their first record?
Well, I thought it was the 60s band. I don't
know.
You're
on drugs,
I was all confused.
You are on drugs.
Oh, Jesus, what the...
And that's why the wolves are at the door, Mike. It's Cave!
From the garage. Ooh, the mods this week. Tell you what, we're going way back. I give you an inch from 1966.
And that's all you give, Mike. That
to you?
You
lucky you get that.
On Radio Like You Want It.
That was sweet.
That's like,
right in the pocket. We're done.
That's done? Done? Holy shit. Good thing this isn't live.
frat guys
it's
gone
swag,
crazy,
man. Michael. What the hell?
Is
God.
There nothing sensual, nothing feminine in your entire canon, Michael?
It's a punk show.
Listen, here's the thing. There's nothing like personal hygiene and a nice lady to pound the point home. This is Lucille Bogan, Michael. Shave them dry.
I got nipples on my titties, big as the end of my thumb. I got something between my legs, I'll make a dead man come. Oh, that. Baby, won't you shave them dry? No, no. Want you to grind me, baby. Grind me until I cry. Say I fucked all night and all the night before, baby. And I feel just like I want to fuck some more. Great God, Daddy, grind me, honey, and shave me dry. And when you hear me holler, baby, I want you to shave me dry. I got nipples on my titty, big in my thumb. Daddy, you say that's the kind of woman you want, and you can make them come. Oh. Daddy, shave me dry. And I give you something, baby, where it'll make you cry. I'm gonna turn back my matches and let you oil my springs. I want you to grind me, Daddy, till the bell do ring. Oh, Daddy, want you to shave me dry. Oh, great God, Daddy, if you can't shave them, baby, won't you try? Now, fucking was a thing that would take me to heaven. I'd be fucking in the studio till the clock back level. Oh, Daddy, Daddy, shave them dry. I would fuck you, baby, honey, I'd make you cry. Now your nuts hang down like a damn bell trapper, and your dick stands up like a steeple. Your goddamn asshole stands up like a church door, and the crab walks in like people. Ow! Stop! Woo! Baby, won't shave and die. A big sow gets that from eating cone, and a pig gets fat from sucking. Really sweet as poor fat like I am, dead God, I got fat to fuck. Woo! Damn right! Oh, my back is made of whalebone, and my cock is made of brass. And my fucking is made for working men with two dogs, dead God, around to kiss my ass. Oh! Woo! Daddy, save them dry.
Wow, I tell you right there, Lucy Bogan, man, didn't hold back. Makes backseat of my car sound like I want to hold your hand.
Backseat of my car does sound a lot like I want to hold your hand, Mike.
That's
but that's
you stole
a different
it from
story.
The Beatles. That's Listen, why. You ripped them off.
You know, we got a little visit from my old pal, Krusty Curmudgeon. He loves the ladies.
I am woman, hear me roar, in numbers too big to ignore. And I know too much to go back and pretend.
Gentle, caressing, dead coming side of Radio Like You Want. Blag, who are we listening to this week?
The Liverbirds, my friend, Peanut Butter. That's mm-hmm. what it's all about. The
These
Liverbirds.
Birds from Livermate.
Well, there's a fool gone round, that's a sticky, sticky goo. Peanut butter. I tasted real good, but it stuck to my teeth. Peanut butter. Yeah, all my friends tell me that they got the mumps. Peanut butter. Yeah, by eating peanut butter in a great big chunk. Peanut butter.
You know, it's impossible to make these goddamn transitions, man. You know what I mean? These fucking transitions. You try to come out of these up-tempo numbers, and then you got to go into a fucking death dedication. I mean, I don't know. I don't know who thought. I want somebody to use his fucking brain not to come out of a number that is up-tempo.
All right, Spike, calm down, man. You always get so worked up. Tell you what, we'll take it from here. All right, huge loss since our last episode. Jeff Hanneman from Slayer has passed away from a flesh-eating disease caused by a spider. Just a random, tragic accident. Major loss to the punk thrash metal community. Before we get into playing a Slayer song, I want to play a little clip from an interview he did about five things he hates.
Five things I hate. First of all, I hate interviews. And not for the obvious reasons, like you're answering the same questions over and over. That doesn't bug me. It's a one-way conversation. I don't get anything out of it. I mean, I don't learn anything. I'm not hearing cool stories. I'm not hearing about like some guy that died a horrific death. I'm just talking about me, and it's kind of boring. Number two, I hate non-contact sports. Number three, I hate happy music. I hate when people sing about good things and love and optimism because it bores me. It's just like, shut the fuck up already. Number four, I hate traveling, even though it's a big part of Slayer and it's what we do. But I like point A and I like point B, but I don't like getting there because it's boring, tedious, and just, I hate it. Number five, I hate everybody I don't know until I meet them, and then I either like them or I figure out the reason why I hated them in the first place. And last but not least, I hate you.
Jeff Hanneman, and Slayer, Angel of Death from the classic Rain in Blood record.
One of his classics. And of course, this just in, we made the announcement that he died from that fungus that he had, that skin disease. Turns out, minutes ago we got the news, it actually was cirrhosis of the liver due to alcohol. Bit of a bummer there.
Hey man, I'd rather die from alcohol than get a spider bite.
Than a spider bite. Yeah, I agree all the way. Like, tell them where to go to get the info.
Interviews at radiolikeyouwant.com. Send us your requests and you can go to radiolikeyouwant.com and download every single show it's ever done. Mike, tell them where they broadcast it.
We are simulcast Thursday, 7 p.m. Pacific time on punkradiocast.com. Saturday, 2 p.m. Pacific time at realpunkradio.com. Sunday, 12 p.m. Pacific time, codeofdestruction.com. They're brand new. Welcome aboard, folks. Big thanks to Ben Weasel and John Gentile for shipping a new track. Joe Queer coming up next.
Worldwide.